Dobar dan. Program o Venezueli nadaljujemo z nekak bolj aktualnim dogajanjem, in sicer z vzpostavitvijo ustavodajne skupščine in pa z nedavnimi lokalnimi volitvami. Zdaj, da bi razumeli sam proces vzpostavitve Narodne ustavodajne skupščine, se moramo nekoliko vrniti v zgodovino, in sicer v letu 2015, ko je stranka predsednika Nicolasa Madura, torej PSUV, izgubila na parlamentarnih volitvah, kjer je potem večino pridobila neoliberalna opozicijska stranka MUD. Od takrat naprej je pravzaprav Venezuela v nekakšnem političnem krču, namreč kakršnekoli zakone sprejema MUD, jo sodišče ustavno, ki pa je v rokah čavistov, pravzaprav blokira. Medtem ko tudi pravzaprav sam parlament ne sprejema nekih resnejših, ni nekih poskusov resnejših političnih sprememb, ampak opozicija predvsem pač sprejema neke, kako se reče, ukrepe, ki so namenjeni nekak smešenju čavistov. Naprimer, en je bil zakon o amnestiji za izvajalce državnega udara iz leta 2002, ne, kar je seveda pač popolnoma nesprejemljivo. Torej, od takrat naprej se je nekak začel nek tak političen krč, ker se zadeve niso mogle premakniti dalje.
Well, the National Constituent Assembly, it's important to recognize that Venezuela's constitution, unlike most constitutions in the global north and Europe and the United States, actually has a provision to convene a citizens assembly that is tasked with redrafting the constitution. So it contains the mechanisms for its own dissolution and its own rewriting, which is very important and very democratic mechanism. And this was initiated by President Maduro on May 1st as a solution or a way out of this institutional crisis and political impasse that was signaled by these violent anti-government protests on the one hand, and then the conflict between the opposition-controlled National Assembly and then the Supreme Court on the other. And the opposition was invited to participate in these elections. In fact, it has been a demand over the past few years on the part of the opposition to convene a National Constituent Assembly because they have never recognized the existing constitution, which was approved through a constituent process in 1999 and passed through a referendum. In fact, during the 2002 coup, their leaders under the Carmona dictatorship that came into power dissolved the constitution. So despite being invited to take part in this process, they decided to boycott it alongside the National Chamber of Commerce, which was also a key player in the 2002 coup. Its head at that time, Pedro Carmona, was the coup leader. So in terms of that, the opposition set itself on a course of collision with the government in which it was determined to overthrow the government by any means necessary in order to prevent this constituent assembly from being elected. And the constituent assembly is made up of representatives, both territorially from one representative for every municipality in the country is elected, but also it's conformed by sectors. So there's 8 different sectors which elected their own representatives. And this was a new feature. So for example, the communal councils and the communes have their own representatives. The workers have their own representatives. The students also, the fisher people and the campesinos, the peasants, as well, the business sectors, likewise, indigenous people have 8 representatives. So this is, in this sense, it's a quite inclusive body.
To je bil Lukas Krner z portala Venezuela Analysis. Povedal je, kakšna je vloga Narodne ustavodajne skupščine in kako je sestavljena.
Letos pomladi je namreč opozicija potem svoje politično delovanje iz parlamenta, kjer pač ni mogla dosegati nekih željenih rezultatov, prenesla na ulice. Začeli so se protesti, ki so bili pa tako izrazito nasilni. In potem se je čez poletje to še stopnjevalo. Naprimer, opozicija je na ulicah zažigala čaviste, z molotovkami razbijala stavbe in tudi plačevala raznim tolpam, zato da so izvajale izgrede. Maduro je pravzaprav v poskusu, da bi umiril opozicijo in hkrati razrešil ta politični krč, ki je nastal, sklical volitve v Narodno ustavodajno skupščino. Zdaj v to ustavodajno skupščino so se komune in ostale te grassroots organizacije množično mobilizirale, medtem ko jih je pač opozicija bojkotirala. Zdaj samo to dogajanje med volitvami in pač kakšno vzdušje je vladalo v tem času, opiše Luka Skrnar.
Well, I think it's important to recognize the context of those elections, that they occurred in the midst of what was effectively what we were living through was a situation of war, of in many cases, these a campaign of violent terror that was being pushed by right-wing forces within the country and from without. That, I mean, for example, a candidate to the elections was assassinated the night before the elections. 200 voting centers were attacked on that day. Were besieged so to prevent people from arriving. The opposition openly declared that they were going to, you know, in many of the opposition owned areas, if people go out to vote, you know, they're enemies of the people and anything can happen to them. So, you know, a bomb went off, for example, in Altamira, in eastern Caracas, you know, something that, you know, something like Iraq, something like, you know, Syria, very, very disturbing episodes that, I mean, this was, you know, a violent insurrection. And I think those are the terms. And this is paralleled by, you know, a series of threats and, you know, by the United States and an escalation of sanctions in which, you know, more Venezuelan officials were sanctioned. Trump, you know, actively threatened economic sanctions, which, of course, was later, you know, fulfilled at the end of August with these financial sanctions. So that this is the context that has to be understood. And given this, I mean, it's absolutely incredible when it speaks to the political consciousness of, you know, the Venezuelan people, of you know, the rank and file of Chavismo, that in the face of, you know, these conditions of intimidation and terror, they came out to vote and in mass to support what is a grassroots constituent process. So, and I think it's also important to put it in context of the 1999 referendum to approve the existing constitution, which actually only had something like 37% of the population participate in that instance. So it's not, the 41.5% number is not that low given these circumstances.
Z vzpostavitvijo ustavodajne skupščine se je to opozicijsko nasilje prenehalo. Chris Gilbert iz Bolivarjeve univerze v Caracasu pa ima vsem zadržke do skupščine in do njene vloge v revoluciji.
Question about the National Assembly. I do think it's correct to realize it was not a revolutionary idea. Before the National Assembly was convened, I had predicted that it would not be able to accomplish revolutionary things. But what it did achieve was it managed to shut down the fascism. It managed to be a kind of game changer that caused, that put the brakes and said no pasarán, that the fascists wouldn't go forward. And that, of course, was a tremendous achievement. Now, in the past month or so, in which the National Assembly has been there and it really hasn't solved people's problems, that shows that it wasn't revolutionary. And why wasn't it revolutionary? Because when you call the National Assembly, when you propose rewriting a constitution and the masses aren't mobilized behind it, you really can't advance very much. Some of the people on the left vanguard here complain, like me, we complain that the National Assembly isn't being used to advance, but we're not surprised because the masses of people are trying to solve their basic problems and they are not really focused on the National Assembly, though it did raise hope.
Gilbert je torej do ustavodajne skupščine nekoliko zadržan. Na drugi strani je pa novinarka Geraldina Coloti nekoliko bolj optimistična. In zdaj bo v naslednji izjavi nakazala, v kjero smer misli, da se odvija dogajanje v ustavodajni skupščini.
Sam bolivarijanski proces je laboratorij, ki si prizadeva na novo izumljati. Kot je dejal Chavez, ali iznajdemo sami, ali pa bomo zabludili. Ta motiv se vleče že od Simona Bolivarja. Večina predlogov, o katerih razpravljajo v ustavodajni skupščini, je zelo naprednih. Izvirajo iz delavskega razreda in komun in so usmerjena k ponovni prilastitvi zastave, pod katero je bilo udejanjeno tisto najnaprednejše v bolivarijanskem socializmu. Seveda, resen problem je, da se mora gospodarstvo razvijati. Na drugi strani imamo tako tudi podjetnike, ki so bili izvoljeni v skupščino. Bilo je zelo simpatično in paradoksalno, kako je v prvih dneh skupščine dvorana poslancev vzklikala El pueblo unido jamás será vencido, Združeno ljudstvo nikoli ne bo premagano. Teh pet izvoljenih podjetnikov pa se je le oziralo naokrog in se spraševalo, kje so. To je le en utrinek o tem, kaj se dogaja v ustavodajni skupščini, ki je že nazaj uspelo doseči mir. To je pomembno dejstvo. Poleg tega so se že začeli soočati s korupcijo. Bilo je veliko pridržan in aretacij koruptivnežev na vseh nivojih. To seveda ni zadeva, ki bi se razrešila čez noč. Ustavodajna skupščina je proces, ki predstavlja najvišjo instanco participatorne demokracije za soočenje z najbolj perečimi ekonomskimi in političnimi temami. A potem je potrebno vse to udejaniti. Bomo videli, ali bo desnica, ki vedno nekaj naklepa, to dovolila. Če ne bo, se obeta nova vojna, ki jo bodo še bolj zakomplicirale imperialne agresije. Mednarodni kontekst je namreč zelo nevaren.
Kljub temu nekako izgleda, da se je opozicija vse začasno umaknila. Verjetno sta prav to nasilje na protestih in pa mir, ki se je zdaj vzpostavil z ustavodajno skupščino, dost pripomogla k temu, da je na regionalnih volitvah, ki so se odvile prejšnjo nedeljo, zmagala Madurova stranka PSOV, oziroma dobila, zmagala je v 18 od 23 regijah. Kot pravi Lukas Krnar s portala Venezuela Analysis, gre za volitve, ki...
Which, of course, should be said, are no ordinary local gubernatorial contest, but really are quite strategic in so far as they foreshadow what could be possible for 2018 presidential elections, which up until now it was widely expected that the opposition was going to win in a landslide, but now that's no longer in so sure.
Opozicija je volitve razglasila za neveljavne, saj naj bi vlada prirejala njihove rezultate. Takšno kritiko so povzele tudi Združene države Amerike, ne da bi za to podale kakršnekoli dokaze. Kljub temu, da so mednarodne organizacije, ki so spremljene te volitve oziroma potek volitev izjavile, da so bile transparentne.
To je to. Sledi tu pa tam, ob 18.35 pa zaključena debata in tolpa bumov.